and welcome to Locked On Astros, your daily Astros podcast. Here are your hosts, Eric the Man Heisman and Brett H-Town Wheelhouse Chansey.
We are Locked On Houston Astros, and we hope that you join us for a daily Locked On Astros podcast. My name is Eric Heisman. You find me on Twitter at EricDocStros. Find the show at Locked On Astros, your team every day. And thank you for making Locked On Astros podcast your first listen, whether it's on YouTube. If you haven't subscribed, why haven't you? It's January 2022. You should have already subscribed by now and give us a like. And on your way to work, on your way home from work, go ahead and listen to us on Apple, Odyssey, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcasts. Listen to the Locked On Astros podcast. So the Players Association and MLB met today. And yes, there's a lot of yelling. I was not in a room. I'm sure there was paper thrown, maybe some staplers thrown, maybe some baseballs thrown across the room. A lot of people getting really upset at things because everybody wants the same thing. They want baseball. The worst thing for this sport would be a delayed season, a shortened season. We already saw what 2020 did to baseball. I mean, talk to the Dodgers. I mean, nobody respects that World Series that they won. Everybody says it's a Mickey Mouse World Series. Not only Astros fans, but it's just across baseball. Everybody calls it, well, the Dodgers won it in a Mickey Mouse season. It's a COVID season where anybody could have won in 60 games. So, but this is a big deal. And the players, everybody kept on saying, well, who's going to blink first? Is it the players or is it the owners? And there's a lot of money on the line. There's a lot of details online. And it appears that the players have blinked first. Does that mean that everything's settled and spring training's going to start on February 16th? No, far from it. And I think there's still a lot of details that they have not come to agreement with. But the players have said, okay, look, there's three big issues that the owners will not back down on. And we're going to go ahead and really back down on these three issues. And I want to go and focus on those three issues. And the first issue is that before I guess we do this, let's go ahead and go a little bit more on today's meeting. There is optimism at this point from an anonymous source, according to Bob Nightingale, that spring training could start on time. Today's meeting was contentious. There's a lot of arguing. It lasted about 2 hours. That's pretty good in terms of some of the meetings earlier this month that lasted maybe, 30 minutes or something. So, and a meeting was scheduled on Tuesday. And so this is a second date. So they liked what they heard. Maybe not everything was great. Maybe you told the date, hey, before we go on a second date, I need you to go get your nails done and maybe need you to go get your haircut, something like that. But at least there's some talk. There's some positive talk. So the players have made some two big concessions. So the three things that the owners were not going to back down on was the players did not like the fact that, let's just call it the Chris Bryant rule, where you the teams kind of hold the players down just so they don't reach free agency a year sooner. And so that the whole Super 2 rule and that type of thing. So that's one thing that the players really wanted to eliminate. They wanted to base it off the year. We'll talk about that in a second. Also, the revenue sharing, they wanted to kind of to reduce that. And also the biggest thing is they wanted to increase the luxury tax threshold. So what did the players agree to go ahead and lower in today's meeting? We'll go and talk about that. So the big thing was that they went ahead and withdrew its request to reduce the free agency from the current 6 years with the age-based system. The players proposed a system for the players reduce free agency at 5 years if they were 29.5 years old. So the current system was 6 years if they were, if as long as they weren't Super 2 based or something like that. So basically, the whole year is what we're looking at here. The team wants that extra year of team control, which is worth millions and millions of dollars, not just for every George Springer out there, every Chris Bryant out there, but for Yordan Alvarez, Kyle Tucker, all these type players. That's big time money, because you're talking about big time money. So the owners were not willing to even listen on that. They're like, no, we like the system. We like the fact that we have extra year team control. We like keeping the salaries a little bit lower. So that's one of the issues that the owners like, you're done. And that kept on shutting down all the negotiations. And every time that the owners would come back with a counter proposal, that was never involved. I'm so ready for baseball season. I had some peanuts before the show, and that's not a good idea, Eric. So that's something that they went ahead and took out of their latest proposal. And so that's one concession that the players did. So, for example, George Springer, like, you remember how the Astros decided, hey, George Springer is super good. He's tearing up the minor leagues. There's no reason why he should stay at AAA. We do want the extra year team control, so we're going to go ahead and keep him down there. So that's definitely why they decided to do that. So, and Chris Bryant is another one that they manipulated time. John Singleton, if you remember that, John Singleton kind of saw what they did to George Springer, and he did not want to be involved with that. He wanted to come up and play. So the Astros said, hey, if you want to come up and play, why don't you just sign an extension and buy out your some of your free agency years? And while if John Singleton would have become a superstar, it would have worked out great. But John Singleton became John Singleton, who's trying to make a comeback with the Brewers, by the way. But that ended up hurting the Astros. But the owners really did not want to give up that. And I really honestly don't blame them. That was millions of dollars. And just to look at how much Fernando Tatis Jr. got, just to look at how much George Springer got in this final year of arbitration, I believe it was like $20 million or something like that. So these are big dollars, and the owners are trying to not have to lose that. And so anyway, so the second thing that the players agreed to back down on is the revenue sharing amongst teams from $100 million to $30 million. So that's also something that they agreed to, kind of, because teams, the has, they do not want to go ahead and give all this money to the has-nots. Like the Astros don't want to give teams to, like, the Pirates, the revenue sharing. So that's something that a lot of the teams just did not want to do. And so the reason why the players want this, of course, is because that gives other teams, like the Pirates, more money to go out and spend money to sign free agents, to increase their payroll. Because the whole thing is that you have all these teams that just don't, I mean, I know they really have the money to do it, but it just like they act like they don't have their money. These are all billionaires talking about this. We know that your wallet's full of money, just like your, like, Brett's refrigerator is full of Built Bar. And speaking of Built Bar, it's the new year, so it means New Year's resolutions. It's not about getting fit or eating healthier. It's about both of them. So why don't you try a Built Bar? Built Bar is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. It's even better than candy bar. Built Bar makes it easier to stick to your resolution because it tastes so good and it makes you want to eat it. Unlike other protein bars, which is chalky, waxy, or tastes like a chemical spill, you want to eat healthy? I'm doing a Biggest Loser contest at work, so guess what I eat in the morning? I don't go to Whataburger anymore. I eat a Built Bar in the morning, and hopefully it's going to help me lose some weight. I just started the Biggest Loser contest, so we'll see. But it's just so boring by week three. If you try to eat healthy by week three, you might be thinking, it's just not worth it. Where's the chocolate? But Built Bar is covered by 100% real chocolate. Most Built Bars contain 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, 4 net carbs, and 17 grams of protein. Compare that to a candy bar, which usually has 240 calories, 30 grams of sugar, dozens of net carbs. I have all this candy from Christmas in there that I could be snacking on, but instead I grab a Built Bar. That's what you should be doing too. So even if you're not a huge fan of working out, which is I'm not, you can at least eat something that tastes good and is really good for you. That way, a delicious Built Bar, you can almost count it as a workout. There's so many different flavors you can get. You can get coconut almond, peanut butter brownie, raspberry, cookies and cream, salted caramel, mint brownie, and many more. In fact, Built Bar is always coming up with new limited time flavors. So check out Built.com and often to see what's new. Go to Built.com, use the promo code LOCKED15 and get 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at Built.com. All right. So I see a lot of people do like to go to Whataburger, and I'm sure, you have Whataburger, then you have Built Bar. So yeah, there's a difference, but it wouldn't hurt to have a Built Bar every once in a while. So I know Stark Fan says that he's a little bit more optimistic now about the season starting on time. But the big thing that I think the teams are having issues with, and let me pull it up, is the luxury tax threshold. This is the thing that I think is still going to be the biggest thing, because remember earlier I was talking about millions of dollars. This is what the players want. The players want the $245 million luxury tax threshold with increased penalties. So if you go above that, if you're the Houston Astros and you go above the $245 million, you're going to lose some draft picks. You're going to lose international pool money. You're going to blah, blah, blah. You're going to have a lot of penalties because we raise this. And so, but the owners definitely do not want to do that. And so I know the current one, the owners are like, okay, we understand that salaries are going up. We know the current $210 million is not enough, but you know what? We got you. We got you. We'll go ahead and lift it up from 210 to 214. How's that? Does that work for you? Yeah? Yeah? Oh, okay. That doesn't work. How about this? At the end of the 5-year CBA, we'll get it to 220. How's that work for you? No? You still want it at 245? You still want it at 245? Oh, man. So I guess it's going to escalate each year, maybe about that's 6 million. So 5 years, so about 1.2 million per year. So I guess the luxury tax threshold will go up 1.2 million per year. That'll be about 2 million per year. Sorry, I was looking at the 214. So that would be escalating about 2 million per year from the current 210. To the 220 based on what the owners want. So, I guess that'd be right. I don't know where there's gotta be a happy median. The owners want 214. The players want 245. I think what we're going to end up seeing is that 220 mark. I mean, the players are going to be like, look, if you're willing to date this 220 mark in 5 years, why don't you date it right now? I mean, if it's good for you in 5 years, why not right now? What's going to happen in 5 years? That's not going to happen right now. And so I think that's where we're going to see something happen there. And if the teams will just have to realize that if you go above that 220, it's going to be like not the death penalty, but it's going to be something where you lose a lot of picks. You lose, you have to pay, a lot of luxury tax. And so it's going to have to be a stiff penalty, because you'll have teams like the Yankees, the Dodgers, maybe even the Astros, who will definitely go over that. There's some teams that are already over that right now. I don't know where the Mets are right now. So, but definitely there's something like that. So I know that Ted Harrington says, well, what about the payroll base? Is that still on the table? I do believe so. I do believe that they still want there to be a minimal salary, and because you can't have these tanking. I think that's what MLB is kind of worried about, is you can't have the teams like the Astros just tanking for 3 years and then all of a sudden they start escalating, becoming good, because that's just bad baseball, not just for their fan base, but for opposing fan bases too. And so it's just not good baseball, and you're trying to market your sport, and that's something that's hard to do. So there's a whole bunch of things that the players have actually nixed over this whole process. And one of the things that it seems like both sides have agreed upon is a universal DH. Thank you. Universal DH will be great for Seth Beer. Seth Beer with the Arizona Diamondbacks, he has no position. He can't play outfield. There's no room for him at first base. So he'll be perfect as a universal DH. So that would make perfect sense in that case. And so you could look for that. I know that that they're trying to look for eliminating the draft pick compensation with the for the qualifying offer. So I think both sides are okay with eliminating that. So, for example, if you lose Carlos Correa, you're not going to get a draft pick for that. That's something that I think both sides are agreeing to eliminate. And I think the union is also agreeing to expand the postseason from 10 to 12 teams. But the MLB is still trying to get 14 teams going, where you have the top seeds picking. Oh, yeah, I want to face you and something like that. So we'll see what happens, because we still got, what, two, three weeks before they have to really decide if they're going to agree upon anything. And I don't know about, I don't think the shift is the big, big thing. But, yeah, I know one of the things that they are looking at is the eliminating the shift. But I think right now they're focusing on the financial thing. But I know eliminating the shift is something that they have talked about. But one of the things that the union wants is they want to, the current minimum salary in baseball is $570,000 to be increased to $775,000. But MLB has offered to raise it to about $600,000. And then about $650,000 for players with 1 year of service, and then $700,000 for players with 2 years of service. So basically just kind of incrementally raise it a little bit too. So MLB is realizing, yeah, we got to meet them somewhere, but the players are asking for the moon. So that's what you do in a negotiation. And until it comes to D-Day, I don't know when D-Day is, and if that is, let me pull up the calendar. If spring training is supposed to start on February 16th, I would say that D-Day, theoretically enough time for people to get to spring training, would be February 9th. They need to have everything worked out by February 9th. That doesn't give us a lot of time. That literally gives baseball 2 weeks to get that taken care of. So can they get all their crap worked out in 2 weeks, including like playoffs, salaries, how they want to run baseball for the next 5 years? Because we're not talking about just 2022. We're talking about the next 5 years of baseball. The next 5 years of baseball will define Rob Manfred's legacy. And that's what a lot of people are not looking at, is this is going to be Manfred's legacy. A lot of fans already hate the guy. We think that he is despicable with everything that's happened, how he treated the whole Astros situation, with how he handled the whole COVID situation. Ken Rosenthal said a couple bad things about him, and MLB Network let him go, basically. This is going to be his defining moment, how he handles the next 2 weeks. Not just him, but I guess Tony Clark to a certain extent as well. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. But you know who's being hurt? All the free agents who don't have a team. And that is also Carlos Correa. And we'll talk about that in a second. It's just crazy to know what's going on out there. And it's hard to know who to bet on getting Carlos Gray right now, especially with the luxury tax threshold not being set right now. Because if it goes up to $245 million, guess who all of a sudden has money to go sign him? The Houston Astros. And speaking of betting, Bet Online would like to wish you a happy new year as we continue to march to the playoffs and beyond. I know it's currently the playoffs, and the NFL had a great weekend, a lot of great football. Bet Online remains the number one spot for all the best sports wagering action for 2022. New year and new updated desktop and mobile website to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code LOCKEDON to get started today. From football, basketball, hockey, boxing, and UFC right to your favorite Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of amazing offers available for 2022. I'm sure they even have some odds on what day they will come to agreement with the CBA, what time spring training will start, and then what time the season will start. I'm sure you can go out and bet on that as well. So Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to wager all your favorite sports. Bet Online, it's where the game starts. And thank you for making Locked On Astros podcast your first listen every day, whether it's on your car, on your way to work, on your way home from work, on Apple, Odyssey, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcasts. Thank you for that. And when you get to work, just go ahead and put your headphones in and pretend like you're working, but in the corner of the screen, you can have YouTube up. Make sure you've already subscribed to our channel and go ahead and give us a like as you're watching our channel and keeping up to date with all the latest Astros news, CBA news, and have they ended the lockout news. So that's a lot that we're going to talk about. So I know that Brett talked a little bit. He had the solo podcast, and I know he talked a little bit about Jeremy Pena over the past 4 days, but Pena's had a great Dominican League. I know that that Jose Siri's team actually won the Dominican championship, and Siri didn't really have a great series. He did have a home run. He stole 5 bases, but his team did win. But Jeremy Pena is looking like he could be the guy at shortstop for Houston Astros, unless for somehow Scott Boras becoming Carlos Correa's agent all of a sudden changes things. And you have to wonder, does the fact that Carlos Correa didn't really get any big offers, did that say, hey, I need a new agent? And you have to look at the fact that, who was Bryce Harper's agent? Scott Boras. He got, 13 years? So maybe Correa is like, you know what? Maybe Boras can get me more than 10 years. Like these old guys, they could only get me 8 years. Maybe Boras can get me 13 years. I don't think so. I don't think Boras can even get Correa 13 years just because of the injuries history right now. But it was very interesting to see that Boras signed Carlos Correa. And I know that Boras said that he is a generational talent. He is one of the top shortstops in the game. He deserves the money, and he does. The Astros would be hurt if they lost him. But same time, they would be really hamstringing themselves if they go out and sign him. So it just a lot of it depends on what happens over the next 2 weeks with the luxury tax threshold. Because if it's at the current $210 million, I believe, I haven't checked recently, but last I looked, we only had like $20 million available. And Carlos Correa is not going to play for $20 million. So even if you give him less this year and more next year and more the next year and try to do that, it doesn't matter. The AAV is what the luxury tax looks at. So it's still going to average out to whatever it is per year. So you can't really manipulate like that. Otherwise, more teams would just say, okay, I'll give you $2 million this year, then $40 million next year. Even with Trevor Bowers, Tyler Bauer, whatever his name is, I forgot his name. But even with his contract, his AAV was counted towards the Dodgers as an AAV, not as whatever his salary was per year. So it's just something how it's just how it is. So I don't want to talk a lot about Carlos Correa in this episode. I just wanted to kind of address that. But it's just kind of weird that he wasn't getting the offers he wanted. I know that him knowing Carlos Correa, knowing how antsy he gets, how he did, the lockout probably came at the worst time for Carlos Correa because he probably does not like just sitting there doing nothing and like, what? I can't talk to anybody. I can't do anything about this. I wouldn't be surprised. You remember Christmas, you had the relatives wearing the Angels shirt. Then you had the Red Sox, and then you had all the little, then you had the New York thing. And then you had, I wouldn't be surprised if Carlos Correa was just bored and just was like, you know what? I can't do anything right now. So let me just go ahead and do this. So just something to do. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens with that situation. But one more thing that I wanted to kind of talk about is that something that the players did decline, and is that fact that they tried to propose that anybody, the teams, any team that had a top 100 prospect would be rewarded a first round draft pick if that prospect wins a rookie year award for the first year, or a second pick if he finishes among the top three in voting. For example, Carlos Correa, when he first came up, he was a rookie of the year. So if let's flash back to what was it? What year was that? Was that 2015 when he made his debut? I think 2015 or 2016 off the top of my head, something like that. But and when Carlos Correa made his debut, he was the rookie of the year that year. And so the Astros would have got a number one, a first round draft pick that year, the next year. That's kind of an incentive to bring the kids up early. So wouldn't you want to bring up Carlos Correa a little bit earlier? Wouldn't you want to bring up your Fernando Tatis Jr. earlier, your Luis Robert earlier, your George Springer up earlier, your Alex Bregman, your Kyle Tucker up earlier? Like, hey, if this guy clicks, I can get another first round pick earlier. And then if he does click, he's going to come up before that Super 2 deadline. So he's going to, the team is going to lose that extra year of team control. So I can see how the players could benefit from that. But the teams will also receive a first round pick if the player finishes in top three MVP of Cy Young race, or second round pick for finishing in the top five in his first 3 years. So the teams are being rewarded for bringing up a player early. So it's just like bringing up Carlos Correa and then getting Alex Bregman in return. That's basically what it is. So you bring up Carlos Correa early, he gets a rookie year. Then next year you're able to draft Alex Bregman. That's basically what would happen in that situation. So that's something that the players just said, no, we're not going to do that. And I understand why the teams would want that, because they want that extra early draft pick. I don't know if I necessarily understand why the players are against that, because you would be getting them to come up earlier and you'll be getting them to reach free agency a little bit earlier. But I don't really get, I just don't really see what the players are against this for. I mean, it'd be basically stop the manipulating the service time. But at the same time, what's the odds of it happening? It's basically a gamble for the teams. It's a gamble. Like for every George Springer that you bring up, I mean, I know they waited till the deadline, but who's somebody that they brought up before like, I know there's always been some rookie that they brought up the beginning season, and they're like, look, I don't care how much we have to pay you down the road. We're going to play you, and we want you to be on opening day roster, and then you just go and play. We'll worry about service time later. There's always that type of player, but we'll see what that happens. But that was just an interesting thing that the players turned down, and it's just kind of the whole thing. They won it, and then you turned it down. So, but the good news with this whole situation is I don't think the draft lottery is still going to be I don't think that's going to work. I don't think that they're going to have the NBA draft. That's not something that's going to work. It works in NBA. I don't see that working in baseball. Baseball is so traditional. I think that they're going to keep to the current draft system. So the good news is that the players and the owners are willing to meet again. Does that mean that they're going to come up with some agreement tomorrow and you'll see handshakes tomorrow? No, that does not mean that. That just means that they're going to work on some more of the stuff that made them throw, what I say earlier, baseballs and staplers across the room today. They're going to work on some of those things again tomorrow. And then, you know, it'll be even better if they meet again on Wednesday. Because if they meet again on Wednesday, then that means they're getting close to seeing eye and eye. And then you might be seeing them get close to reaching a deal. But until then, I wouldn't get too hyped up, but at the same time, we're making strides. The back-to-back dates, that's always a good thing when you're dating somebody. So that's all I have to say. So we'll be back with another Locked On Astros podcast. Thank you for listening. Make sure you subscribe to us on YouTube and go Astros, and hopefully we get the season started pretty soon. And we'll talk to you later.